Welcome back to the program. Few experiences in life are more personal than grief. There is simply no formula. We're all told about the stages of grief, but research now tells us that this is simply not true. As Anais Nin once said, we see things not as they are, but as we are. We bring our own history, prejudice, and emotion to the process of grief. Couple this with grieving for a husband when one still has a whole life ahead of you, and you have the potential for many questions, many tears, and even much laughter. It's what Becky Aikman found out as she would deal with her own grief, along with a group of Saturday Night Widows. And while it may sound like a skit on Saturday Night Live, Saturday Night Widows is the real and raw story of six women coming to grips with death, life, and love. Becky Aikman is a writer. She was an editor at Business Week, a reporter for Newsday, a graduate of the Columbia University School of Journalism, and the author of Saturday Night Widows, The Adventures of Six Friends Remaking Their Lives. Becky Aikman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Delight to have you here. Tell us a little bit about how this group came together. You started out as part of another support group that didn't work out. In fact, the support group threw you out.
Yes, I think it was a new low. I went to a standard, traditional support group for widows, and I was by far the youngest woman there. But that wasn't the problem so much as the fact that it was such a gloomy experience. They asked us to go around the room and tell the stories of our husband's death, and everyone cried, and it was so depressing. So afterwards, I went to the social worker in charge of the group and said, couldn't we try to be more positive, more forward-looking, making plans for the future? And he told me I didn't fit in and I shouldn't come back.
How did you feel about that?
I was crushed because I really was looking for other people like me. This was such a strange experience, and I had no role models on how to go forward with my life. And a lot is written about the experience of grief, but it's usually about that initial phase when you're so sad and you don't really function. But I was getting to the next step, which is the step of remaking and reinventing myself, and I wanted help with that.
In many ways, as you talk about the group, the initial support group, played to every single cliche you could imagine.
Yes, it did, and it set me out on a search for actual research about what it's actually like for people who are grieving. And it's something that's only very recently been studied in a scientific way, following grieving people over time. And what I learned is that so many of our conceptions about how people cope are really misconceptions.
The traditional idea of the stages of grief, in fact, don't quite work the way we originally thought they did.
I was as misinformed as anybody about this. I thought I was supposed to be following the stages of grief. But it turns out there's really no such thing. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came up with this theory of stages by studying people who were dying, not people who were grieving for someone else. So they aren't at all relevant to someone who's lost someone that they love in their own life. In fact, what people do is that they have wild swings of emotions at first, from deep sadness to feelings of normality and even a little giddiness at times. And those swings get less intense over time as people return to normal.
In addition to dealing with the death of your husband, you were also dealing with a lot of upheaval in your professional life as well.
Yes, I didn't time things well. I was a newspaper reporter, and newspapers were falling apart at the same time. So my career was falling apart, my husband was gone. I needed to seriously reassess who I was, where I was going, where to live, how to live, who to care about, who cared about me. Everything was up in the air.
How much of it did you deal with in the context of the broader framework of really thinking that you had to reinvent yourself? Or was it something that was more organic in the way it evolved?
I felt that I had to consciously reinvent myself because if I had remained the same, I would have been stuck in this past that no longer existed. I couldn't keep going the way I was. My husband was gone. My career was changing. I had to consciously get out there and make decisions, some of them hard decisions, about what to change in my life if I wanted it to be full and happy again.
And the group of Saturday Night Widows, how did the idea for that evolve?
Well, it was a completely amateur idea. After I did my research on how people grieve, I thought, well, why don't I put together my own group and try to follow some of these principles about what really does help people? And one of the things I learned is that sitting in a circle and talking about events that are traumatic can reinforce those traumatic memories and make the grieving worse. That experts told me that what's good for people is to have new experiences, positive experiences, laughter. In fact, there are studies that show that people who smile and laugh the most in the early months of grieving have the best mental health years later. So I wanted to start a group that was focused on having fun, looking forward, and feeling that friendship, but not in a gloomy, depressing way.
And how did you recruit the members for this group?
Well, as I said, it was a very amateur project, so there was nothing scientific about it. I asked everybody I knew, and they asked everybody they knew, because it's hard to find young widows. I wanted people to be in sort of the same age range that I was and have similar issues of how to go forward in their life. So it was hard to find them. But I asked people like a real estate agent, for example, because I thought she would meet a lot of people in transition. And eventually I came up with five women who were very, very different personalities.
And you got them all together for that initial dinner. Talk about that.
Well, my first reaction when I got them in the room together, we all brought a dish to one of the women's apartments. And I looked around the room and I thought, wow, did I make a mistake? I hadn't really thought about the fact that their personalities were so different and their backgrounds were so different. They ranged from Marcia, who was a very high-powered corporate attorney, to Leslie, who married when she was 20 and raised a family. The only thing they had in common was not exactly the kind of thing that lights a fire under a party. So I thought this could be one sad story. But it didn't take too long before it became clear it was something else entirely, an adventure story, as we all faced these issues and made incredible changes in our lives.
And to what degree did it become clear that everybody was dealing with these issues in a different way, and yet there was a certain universality to it?
Yes, it was so fascinating. We had very different issues. One of the women, for example, was going through a divorce at the time her husband died, so her feelings, you would think, would be very different from ours. People had husbands who died very suddenly. People had husbands who suffered through long illnesses. But there was a core for all of us where we wanted to be happy again, and we didn't know how to do that, and we were looking to each other for help, and we would borrow ideas from each other. I might look at Tara and say, oh, I love the way she's handling this problem. I should try that. Or I might look at Denise on another issue and say, oh, what she's doing there is a good idea. So like women everywhere, or men too, we look to our friends for ideas about how to cope with our lives.
What's interesting is that the culture itself really doesn't provide any framework for these kind of situations.
Yes, I found that so frustrating. Our culture is not comfortable with the idea that people die, but in fact it is the one certainty. And so I felt that there wasn't much for me to read or learn about how to cope when this happens, even though it is such a universal experience. And it's why I wrote the book. I wanted to have a book out there for people who were ready to make that next step. I've lost someone I love. What do I do now?
To what extent were there thoughts about what it might have been like had the tables been reversed, if it was your husband who was grieving for you?
That's an interesting question. I think there are probably a lot of similarities and maybe some differences. It's interesting. There hasn't been much formal study about how men and women differ in how they cope with losses. Our group decided to do our own very amateur version. We invited a group of four widowers to meet us one night and talk about how they were coping. And there really were a lot of differences. For one thing, they talked a lot about getting a lot of offers of sympathy sex, which is something we didn't experience too much.
In many ways, you talk about that it was like a second adolescence in some ways.
Yes, that came to me so often. The idea that we were going through a second adolescence when there are so many issues of self-discovery, when you face things for the first time. And while we weren't facing some of these issues for the first time, dating, for example, some of us had been with the same people for 20 years. So it was a very scary, somewhat exhilarating prospect to go out there and start dating again. And it felt strange, giddy, scary, all those feelings you have when you're 16 and you get asked out to the prom for the first time.
How important was it, as all of you went through different stages and came to this initially at different stages, to really have that support? To what extent, as you look back at it, did it really have a profound impact on how you all evolved and got through it and came out the other side?
We all agreed it had a very profound impact, and I didn't really know whether it would when we started, but we all agree now that it's had a tremendous effect on our lives. I think it's because we felt like such fish out of water in our own lives. At the point when my husband died, all my friends were married, they were secure in their careers, and suddenly I was going through all of this turmoil and didn't know who to turn to. And while my friends were wonderfully supportive and sympathetic, it made such a difference to know people who had so many of these same feelings when I was having them. It's hard to explain, but human beings need that connection to other human beings for guidance in how to go forward, I think.
How did the children that were viewing these get-togethers and seeing what was going on, the children of the various six women, how did they view these gatherings?
I think they were happy for all of us that we had this outlet. All the children were concerned for their mothers and how they were coping. And the family dynamic was a very difficult one often because the children were grieving, the mothers were grieving. The mothers had to try to keep it together for the children. It was great for us that we could let our hair down and not have to do that when we were together. We talked a lot about issues regarding children, especially issues of dating again and how to deal with children with that. And also, when we did start to date, because this was midlife romance, we often met men who had children, too. And there are a lot of complicated issues about trying to bring families together in these cases. And that became an issue as time went on that became a very big one as we began to get out and date again.
How often did the group get together?
We got together one Saturday night a month for 1 year. At least that was the plan. It kind of expanded after a while. One of our last get-togethers was a 10-day trip, actually, abroad, because we wanted to visit a country we'd never visited before. So some of our events became more and more over the top. Once the year was over, theoretically we could have disbanded, but in fact we still get together all the time, and it's like throwing accelerant on a fire. As soon as we get together, we just take off and start laughing and talking and sharing all the things we don't really share with anybody else. It's a magical quality that we love.
Were there any conflicts along the way?
You know, I would have thought there would have been a lot of conflicts, and a few times I worried about it. For example, early on, Leslie began to date and actually moved in with someone, and his young son, while other people weren't even beginning to think about issues like that. And I worried, well, will there be resentments? But we were remarkably supportive of each other, and this included traveling together when we all had to be ready at a certain hour in the morning, and some people were happier or less happy about that. Because we shared this core experience, we had such a natural empathy for each other that it carried us through all kinds of things that might have caused conflict with other people, I think.
There was also, as an overlay to this, the fact that you were writing a book about this, and that was stated up front.
Yes, yes. And everyone thought long and hard about whether to be in the book at first, and I was really surprised. Everyone I asked to do it said yes, even though it meant exposing a tremendous amount about our most personal issues and some of our craziest misfires would be known to the public. But all of us had this same strong feeling that there had been nothing there for us to help us through this transition, and we wanted to help other people. So we really held nothing back. It's funny that we reveal our most personal matters to each other, even though we knew it was going to be in a book. But we're not really ashamed of anything we did. And we thought it would help other people to read about it. So sex, lives, everything, they're right in there.
Talk about the overarching thing that you came away with in terms of understanding how people cope with adversity and get through it.
Well, I have to say it was really inspiring. And I don't think of myself as someone who's easily inspired. But I did learn from researchers that human beings have a natural resilience, and they tend to be able to get through these kinds of things on their own, and that's what I learned. We've all been through a really devastating tragedy, but we were determined to be positive and to remake our lives, and we succeeded. So in the end, I think it left me with a very positive feeling about human beings and what they can do and the important role that friendship can play in helping people through.
Was there an impact that any of the women had that was different because of the way in which their husbands died? Some, as you say, were long illnesses. One was a suicide. Talk about that.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot in the group, and we agreed that either way, you don't want to go through it. One person died in an accident, and one person had a very sudden heart attack. And for the women left behind there, it was such a terrible shock, and it has a great effect on your ability to trust the world afterwards, because such a devastating thing can come out of the blue. So that's a very hard thing to deal with. And those of us who had husbands who went through long illnesses, watching someone suffer like that is something I wouldn't wish on anyone. So either one can have a very traumatic effect on the person left behind. In the case of the suicide, Leslie, whose husband committed suicide, had the added issue of feeling that people were reacting to her in a judgmental way. It helped her a lot to be in the group and be around people who she felt weren't judging her. And she partly did do the book because she wanted to make the point that suicide is like another kind of illness. It took her husband, and it wasn't fair, and no one was to blame.
The other aspect of the grief is not only the grieving for a person that's gone, but for a life that's gone, that all of you were on a certain trajectory and had certain expectations, and suddenly all of that changed.
That's such an insightful comment, Jeff. I agree. We all felt that we'd been following a script, and we were at the point in the life when it seemed to be a fairly settled script, and we knew what was coming next, and suddenly that script was torn up, and we had to write a new one. It was scary and hard, but another way to look at it was that it did open new possibilities for us, and we tried to appreciate that it was a chance to make new and different things happen and to find new sources of joy in our lives.
And there was, as you write a lot about in Saturday Night Widows, a lot of laughter, a lot of exhilaration in all of this newness.
Yes, and I had learned from research that humor is one of the best coping mechanisms for anything in life. And we found almost as soon as we got together that we started having a lot of humor. And as the book goes on, I think it becomes funnier and funnier as our mood gets lighter. But there's humor even from the very beginning. Some of it's a little black and absurd humor. And by the end, it's lighter and more fun humor. And that is because it is such a central way people have of coping with hard things. So I wanted to be sure the humor was there in the book, because it was certainly there in our experiences together. We laughed and laughed. We very rarely shed any tears, though we did, but we did a lot of laughing.
Certainly a long way from that initial support group.
Completely different. I'm so glad I got kicked out of that one, because if it had continued the way it was, it would not have been much help to me. And I hear now from a lot of people who join support groups, I hear a lot of them had similar experiences. The one thing a lot of people have gotten out of them is that they've met people they really like, and they continued to be friends afterwards. And it was more that natural, normal human friendship that they had after the support group that helped them more than that structured sharing of grievances that I experienced So I think the group, the Saturday Night Widows format of getting together in a more natural way and having fun and sharing when you're ready to share is a much more constructive approach.
Becky Aikman, her book is Saturday Night Widows, The Adventures of Six Friends Remaking Their Lives. It's just out from Crown. Becky, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
It was great. I enjoyed it. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. We'll take a break. I'll be right back.